Well, good morning. It's 6:06, and have a couple of guests on today, so we'll have to squeeze in as much as we can around them. Have James Dickens coming in, and Ms. Solis, Isabella, and I've also got. I ran into, believe it or not, after yesterday's show, I ran into Wayne Hancock down at the DA's office. I was doing an interview for a client down there, and so introduced myself. And asked him if he wanted to come on the show, and he was very polite. So we'll see if he is follows through on that. Anyway, trying to get all these candidates on the show. I talked to Jeff Steinborn yesterday. He's going to come on the show, I believe, on next Wednesday, and he is a good guest himself. So I do have that new computer out there, but it's not they've got to load it with stuff. So I was about to play you a clip for Hillary, but the system is frozen up. Not Hillary, but Susanna has fired back at Trump, of course. Let's see here. Maybe if I close a few of these, it will liberate the demon. All right, there appears to have worked preliminarily. Hope you're doing well. Pleasant outside. Came to the studio this morning. There was a homeless person on the front porch. And I've got 49 degrees right now, wind 7.3 miles per hour. So we'll see. Let me see if I can pull this Trump thing up here for you. Yeah. All right. So, well, this might work. Oh. Yeah. So this new machine is going to be so beautiful, so powerful. It already is. It's just incredible. You're going to fall in love with it like I have. We're continuing to get hit by these massive tornadoes, and really stunning. Some of the size, and I've been watching some of the clips on it. And you know what I'm amazed at is how these vehicles will pull up. These vehicles basically drive into these tornadoes. I mean, they don't seem to have any fear whatsoever. So I've never seen anything like it. So these I guess I don't know if they're these tornado chasers, these storm busters, or if they're just people who don't know what a tornado looks like, or they're on a death wish, or all right. So here is a little bit. Susanna, as you recall, refused to show up to Donald Trump's speech. Now, Susanna was on a list of short list of people who could be the vice president. And I was asking you if you thought it was wise or a mistake for her to say that she was too busy to meet Trump. And 5-2-3-14-15. My feeling is he might be the next president. He is the party's nominee. I mean, how do you not meet him, you know? And I know she's got her own strong feelings or whatever. But anyway, here's her response to getting trashed by Trump.
What is your response to Donald Trump's, criticism that you're not necessarily doing your job here?
You know, it's politics. I mean, it really is. It's just politics. It doesn't bother me what he says. It just doesn't affect me. I was a prosecutor for 25 years, and I've heard names that have been called for a long time. It just doesn't, it's not something that's going to affect me.
Chris, your statement last night addressed several things that Donald had criticized you over, but one of the things that wasn't addressed was the idea he had brought up about jobs in Albuquerque and job creation, in other words, essentially, that he brought up. And that's something Democrats have also criticized you over in your tenure as governor. What's your response to Mr. Trump's criticism about the unemployment rate in Albuquerque and New Mexico?
It's really the statements he made, it's all politics. The things that he was saying are not addressing the real issues at New Mexico. is facing, those are the things I want to hear, and I know what New Mexicans deserve to hear. How are we going to address the Washington that is so dysfunctional, and we rely so much because of our four military bases and our four national labs? How are we going to handle those issues? But we didn't hear that last night. Instead, it was just this political stuff that was being said, and you know, I accept that that's what it is. I'm really interested. New Mexicans deserve. Tell us what your plan is for New Mexico.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people have been asking you is whether you're going to endorse Trump. And there have been several statements from your office sort of saying no, but leaving the door open. And after last night, can you give us a more definitive answer?
I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton. I can tell you that I'm the same place I was before this event took place. We deserve to hear from a presidential candidate what they are going to do to deal with the issues that are facing New Mexico. That was not discussed last night, and we were hopeful that that would be discussed. And that's why we continue to you know, welcome the issues be discussed fully and how is New Mexico going to be improved when Washington starts to function the way it's supposed to.
NBC News.
All right. So the question that seems to be suggested there is that I guess Washington is a big source of the problems in New Mexico. And did you find her, the governor's statements response to Trump, do you find them reasonable or moving, or are you in agreement with her? Or do you think that possibly we missed out on an opportunity to be more involved in the Trump campaign and the Trump presidency? Just curious. 523-1450. And the all right, so shifting gears here, we've got issues dealing with Hillary Clinton that are really extraordinary. And, you know, one of the things is that it has been agreed by a large number of people that Hillary Clinton has lied. So we've got kind of a truncated show today because I've got a couple of guests, but I want to get this out there. You know, I don't know if you know who Mika Brzezinski is, but she's the daughter of the Brzezinski that was in the he was the national security advisor, I believe, for Carter, wasn't it? And in any event, he's got a daughter. She's a blonde haired lady that is on Morning Joe. And her response was along the lines of, I think we finally have proof that Hillary lied. So here's a little bit from that. Well, actually, I'll have that in a minute, but here is a little bit, I believe, from Judge Napolitano on O'Reilly. Kelly O'Connell, and it's 6:14, and we've got a clip talking about the Hillary emails and the report that came out.
O'Reilly, thanks for watching us tonight. How much trouble is Hillary Clinton really in? That is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. Yesterday, the Inspector General of the State Department harshly criticized former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton for conducting federal business on her private email system. Stephen Linick went on to say that Mrs. Clinton did not seek permission to circumvent the rules, but most damning of all, the IG reports that Hillary Clinton refused to talk with him about the violations. Each federal agency has an inspector general who's in charge of investigating alleged wrongdoing. Now, this is a major development because the FBI is also investigating Secretary Clinton for possible criminal wrongdoing, and Linick provides motive. His report says Mrs. Clinton refused to use the government email because she herself feared that some of her correspondence might be made public. Reaction to the story came quickly.
Overnight, Clinton's first response to that report, telling Univision her emails won't be an issue.
It's the same story. It's not an issue that is going to affect either the campaign or my presidency.
She's as crooked as they come. She had a little bad news today, as you know, from some reports came down, weren't so good, but that's so good. The Inspector General's report, not good.
Now, at the State Department itself, there was this.
Okay, I do know there were hack attempts, or that, but none of them were successful.
How do you know that none of them were successful?
I would just have to refer you to the...
How do you know that? Because the report does not say that none of them were successful.
I apologize. Actually, I missed.
That's a State Department spokesman. He's not even ready.
But I will say, but I just would refer you to Secretary Clinton's team for questions about the security of the system.
All right. We're talking about hacking there, and Mr. Toner is being ridiculous, referring questions to Clinton's team. Come on. You're insulting us. Hillary Clinton is banking on the FBI not recommending charges. If the agency does, it's over for the secretary. But if no indictment is forthcoming, voters will most likely shrug, especially because her base is so ardently anti-Trump. Summing up, not a good Wednesday for Hillary Clinton. And that's a memo. Now, top story tonight, reaction from former federal prosecutor Rudy Giuliani. Now, full disclosure, you're a fierce critic of Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I'm a Republican.
But I want you to examine the situation from the investigative angle. What does this IG's report mean in the overall investigation?
Bill, I've prosecuted Republicans and Democrats, almost equal number when I was U.S. Attorney, Associate Attorney General. Remember what the Inspector General has found is that she violated the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations. The Code of Federal Regulations is just an explication of federal statutes, in this case, 18 U.S.C. Section 1924, which makes it a federal crime to remove, without permission, a confidential document.
That's what they got Petraeus on.
Well, that's exactly what she did. I mean,
but it's the same statute
they
got Petraeus on.
But the report, if true, makes out a clear, overwhelming violation of that statute.
But she really didn't remove anything. She just didn't use a secure service,
well,
right?
She did. She removed it to a house.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that she removed the communicative apparatus
to her house
from
without
Washington,
seeking permission.
Without seeking permission.
And it says if you remove government.
But she didn't physically remove anything. She just set up a new server,
which had the effect of physically removing
the information flow
from the State Department to a private place for which she did not obtain permission. She also committed perjury. She signed a document stating she returned all documents to the State Department. She didn't return all documents to the State Department. Her destruction, her destruction of the 55,000 emails.
That she erased. She erased.
Erasing is called destruction.
Okay.
That's a federal crime. Once she used this phone as a government phone, it stopped being a private phone. Her private rights to this phone ended. The government has the right to see everything on that phone. The minute she used it as a government phone, and she didn't have the right to destroy those 55,000 emails. And what I would argue is those 55,000 emails are really the ones she doesn't want us to see. Maybe communications with Bill over the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
Maybe communications over Benghazi.
Do you think the FBI has those emails now? Because you can reconstitute them. You know that.
I know you can.
They have the server.
And they might. Obstruction
of
justice.
If you were a federal prosecutor, and all the things that you have said are borne out by the investigative agency, what would you charge Hillary Clinton
with? I would charge her obviously under 1924, the unauthorized removal of government records. She never sought authorization. The report makes it clear. Number two, I charge her with obstruction of justice for destroying the emails that she destroyed during the pendency of an investigation.
Lawyers make the argument she didn't know she was violating the law by erasing the emails, would that argument have legal weight?
No. First of all, it would be absurd if the attorney general wouldn't know. I have to believe.
Well, she's not the attorney general.
I'm sorry. It would be absurd if the
secretary of
state wouldn't know. When I worked for the attorney general, I was briefed on these laws. Everyone who has a security
clearance. But you know what she's going to say, that nobody told me this.
Well, I don't know. It's who knows if she's going to get indicted, but it's come out that she has thinking more and more, I think, to the average person that she didn't tell the truth. Let's put it that way. Now what that means to her campaign will have to be decided by the voters, of course, but it certainly, you can't argue. I don't think anybody can argue that Hillary has been helped by this situation, you know? So, I mean, I don't know what else to mention there, but let's take a break. 621 Kelly O'Connell. We'll be right back. And in theory, we're going to have a guest in about 10 minutes. And 523-1450 on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly?
Well, hello, Kelly.
Who's this?
This is Dave Bonner.
Hey, man.
What's
going on?
And Wayne on. I wish I could have been invited.
What's that?
If you're going to have Wayne and Isabella on today, I wish I could have been invited.
Do you want to come on? I mean, you can come on today if you can get down here. How far away are you?
I'm up here at Oregon.
See, we got about an hour and a half of the show left, or you could come on, you could come on Tuesday.
What would be better for me to hot put it down there today or come on Tuesday?
Probably, well, realistically speaking, let's see, how long would it take you to get down here? Probably at least 20, 30 minutes.
At least 30, yeah.
Yeah, so that would put you in at 7:30. Why don't we just do it for Tuesday at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
You know how to get here?
Yeah, you're out there with 101 Gold.
Yeah. All right, we'll look forward to seeing you on Tuesday morning at 6.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you too, Kelly. It's a nice show.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see how you deal with Wayne today.
All right. Well, today is James Dickens and Solis. Wayne's not coming on today.
Oh.
But
okay.
Hey, listen.
I must have misunderstood. I thought you said you'd seen him invited.
But we didn't have any confirmation. I don't know if he's going to come on the show, but just look up my. Do you have a pen?
Yes.
I'm about on the air, but
okay.
496-6359. Call me after the show.
496-6359. I think I left you a message.
Thank you.
Yesterday.
All right, thank you. It's Kelly, and so anyway, we've got, I never know who's going to really show up for the actual invitations, but I want to get all the different folks on here so you can have a chance to listen to them. All right, so... here is Mika Brzezinski saying, it sounds like, it seems like Hillary Clinton lied. Check it out.
For Bloomberg Business Week and political columnist for the Boston Globe, Joshua Green. And in San Jose, California, NBC News chief foreign affairs correspondent and host of Andrea Mitchell Reports, Andrea Mitchell. Andrea, thanks for getting up early for us. The first interview we showed was the one that you did with her. And she says time and time and time and time and time and time again, it was allowed. Was it allowed?
It was not allowed to not return those records before she left the State Department. She violated the Official Records Act, according to her own State Department IG appointed by President Obama. What you have shown just now, Mika, is completely undercuts the argument she's been making for more than a year, just as she is trying to persuade voters that she's not untrustworthy. I think that the most surprising and in some ways shocking thing is their reaction, claiming that this is the same as what former secretaries did, the comparison they're making to Colin Powell. The facts are that Colin Powell was the first Secretary of State to ever use email. He used it specifically to try to launch the State Department into the new century and try to get people to communicate by email. He was using it as an example. He did use some personal emails. He didn't always separate them, but it was a completely above board. Everybody in the State Department knew what he was doing. It was not, in fact, violating a rule that was put in place under Clinton, not after she left. It was put in place under Clinton, and she was warned beforehand of decades of this Records Act that prohibits you to leave the State Department, leave any agency, and not turn over your records. So there are so many flaws in their argument, and you know, the politics, we'll have to see how that plays out, but see how this is anything but devastating, given the fact that they have been making a completely different argument now for more than a year.
Yeah, the Clinton campaign, Josh, has long maintained the server was never breached. But the report tells of one incident when an advisor shut it down out of concern it was under attack. And the footnotes tell of an incident in 2011 where Secretary Clinton was concerned someone was, quote, hacking into her email after getting more than one email with a suspicious link. You know, when you get those, you get worried. According to the report, security officials should be known even when a personal device is feared compromised. But according to the report, the inspector general found no evidence that the secretary or her staff ever reported the incident. And there's so much here that's fair to say, how can she remember?
Well, this is the whole problem. This is the reason you have these protocols in the government servers, so you don't expose important emails to the possibility.
But when she said it was allowed, it was allowed, it was allowed, it was allowed, it was allowed. Does she not remember any of this? Are we supposed to believe that?
I suppose we are supposed to believe it. I'm not sure a lot of people do, but
do they care?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a serious issue. I mean, if you were to remove, you know, Donald Trump from the equation right now, this is the story that would be roiling the 2016 presidential election.
Chuck.
And more than that, it would be fueling more hand wringing in the Democratic Party and all this. The only reason why I think there isn't panic on the Democratic side is because of Trump. You know, I was thinking about this morning. If she, because of this breach, for instance, she could, I don't think she could get confirmed, for instance, to be attorney general.
Well,
you know, because like, you know, and I mean it this way, meaning like you, their basic defense here, I'm with Andrea and how, like, it's sort of a you know, you're pulled muscles here watching them trying to spin this. But their basic is, well, there wasn't a specific law that told us we couldn't do it.
Right.
So, like, you know, they're making a very Al Gore. There's no controlling legal authority. It's some, like, specific.
Andrea,
you know,
here are the things that, like, over time we remember here. Her saying repeatedly it was allowed. A private server set up in her home by an IT guy who was given immunity, and his emails are missing. And she even joked when she was asked, I think in a high school gym, you know, did you wipe the server? Meaning, get rid of everything so no one can see it.
Yeah.
And she joked about it being with a cloth. And I mean, I really don't want to be the one bring this, but I got to tell you, this is really hard to believe. It feels like she's lying straight out. Andrea Mitchell, is she lying?
I can't say that. I would let the viewer, I would let the voter make those determinations, but it doesn't hold up. There's so many inconsistencies, including their response yesterday. And as Chuck said, it was sort of jaw-dropping that they tried, instead of coming out and saying, look, you know, it was a mistake, as she has previously acknowledged, it was bad judgment, and we don't know whether or not it was hacked. We know that there were attempts to penetrate. There's no evidence in this report that penetration, that actually happened, but you can't, you know, prove the negative. But they should have just come out, arguably, and said, this is a mess and we're going to try to move on. Instead, they're fighting it and coming out with a completely non-credible argument on her behalf. And it also makes her defensive, and it makes her run from reporters and not want to do interviews and not want to talk to, you know, people covering her events all day yesterday. So she's hunkered down now at a key point here. Yes, she's going to get the delegates, but the point is she wanted to win California.
So is she going to win California? I mean, wouldn't that be shocking if the candidate for the presidency on the Democrat side couldn't even win the biggest state in the union, when you've got to, you know, you've got to think that, you know, that anybody could walk in who was the candidate, who was the person that is going to run for the party and win. So let's take a break here. And I don't see any movement at the door, so I'm not sure if the first guest is going to be here. 632 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450. We'll be right back.
He's a guy tell me how to whittle.
And this is, we're kind of celebrating Guy Clark, who's just passed.
He'd sit in the kitchen and he'd cry and run his fingers through 7 years of living. And wonder, Lord, has every well I drew gone dry?
All right. So suffice it to say that unless you're a real Hillary supporter, you've got some doubts about her. And I don't, you know, what kind of makes me wonder is if she is, if you are a Hillary supporter, do you really think that this is no big deal? Is it more far right? What you call it, the right wing conspiracy? It just cannot possibly be good. And that's why you have to take seriously this, this situation with Trump coming up. I mean, you can't look at Trump's candidacy at this point and claim it's a joke anymore. It's just, you know, Hillary's got severe problems. Whether she gets indicted, maybe not the most important thing now. Maybe the most, I mean, obviously if she gets indicted, then it's a brand new game. But if it stays in the news the entire time, that's not good. All right, here is the tornado outbreak that is occurring, that occurred from Nebraska to Kansas. And this is from NBC News last night.
An exceptionally destructive week from tornadoes. We saw still more today. There were touchdowns in Texas and in Kansas. Tonight, forecasters say there is an enhanced risk of severe weather, including hail, lightning, and tornadoes, extending from southern Nebraska to Kansas tonight. Several strong tornadoes likely into the evening. And so take a look. Right now, we are keeping a close eye on these live video streams. They're coming from just some of the storm chasers fanned out in the danger zone, scanning the skies for trouble. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in Abilene, Kansas, watching it all unfold.
Late today, a new round of severe storms slamming several states. A tornado touching down in Bryan, Texas, another in northeast Kansas. The relentless wild weather grounding flights in Colorado and forcing the brief evacuation of Kansas City's airport. And in a Kentucky cave, 19 people rescued after being trapped by rising floodwaters.
Holy cow.
All this after a half-mile-wide twister chewed through Dickinson County, Kansas, late Wednesday, on the ground for almost 90 minutes. Watch as these storm chasers leave a camera on the ground, the incredible 360 video revealing an extremely rare glimpse inside the storm. As the ferocious tornado barrels through, swallowing the camera.
He said, it's coming. It's going to get us.
Denise Zook and her husband Sam survived in their cellar.
Well, it's just one picture of devastation after another one. So it's just incredible. And it appears to be going on. All right, I've got a little more news for you when we come back on the situation with the assassins in Arizona that Paul Babeau had warned about. 639 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And 523 1450 looks like our guest is going to make it. So we'll, I always prepare. Trust me, one of the things you learn in this business, Always be prepared for a no-show. We'll be right back.
With friends, me and his old man, was like desperados waiting for a train. Like desperados waiting for a train.
All right, so we've got some Paul Babu. A little bit of Paul Babu here. Sounds like somebody from The Lion King. But anyway, here's Babu, and he's talking to Mike Huckabee on the assassins that have been warned are stalking the landscape in Arizona.
Welcome back to Hannity. The sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona, issued a dire warning to citizens about, quote, Mexican assassins this holiday weekend. Now, the press release reads in part, and I quote, based on credible information about recent Mexican drug cartel violence, Sheriff Paul Babu is warning campers, hikers, mountain bikers, and all-terrain vehicle riders of the elevated risk of being out in certain areas of Pinal County this holiday weekend. Sheriff Babu encourages those who are using the back roads, campsites, and trails in the known smuggling corridors of western Pinal County to be very cautious and consider carrying a firearm when in these wilderness areas. Joining us now to explain more is the sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona, Paul Babu. Paul, first of all, I want to tell you, I thought what you said was quite honest and it was refreshing. You said to people, there's a bigger problem than we can fix with the law enforcement personnel we have.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to go out there in the wilderness, and that's what you're talking about, out in the wilderness, you better be prepared to protect yourself because cops are a long way away.
That's the case. And you look no further than the signs President Obama has erected in my county that literally written in English warn American citizens that it's not safe to travel here. So you don't, in law enforcement, we call that a clue. And the president is literally, it's a sign of surrendering, quite frankly, this area to the cartels instead of joining the fight with me and Border Patrol agents on the ground, bringing a heavy hand of enforcement against these cartels.
That's exactly the word that came to my mind. It's as if we have surrendered a major part of the sovereign territory of the United States of America and said, we don't control this anymore.
Right.
What has happened in America when we surrender exactly to drug cartels?
Right. And I'm a retired Army officer, served a tour in Iraq. And when you see in my county, we've arrested now in the past year, year and a half, a total of 21 plus cartel scouts on mountaintops. We're not even on the border. We're 20 miles 70 miles north of the border. And these are lookouts for the cartel. The largest drug bust in the history of my state, $3 billion, 76 members of these cartels, armed to the teeth, 108 firearms. And the president, instead of helping us, instead of securing the border at the border, has been releasing violent, dangerous, convicted criminals into my county, into my state.
Sheriff, when I hear the president, he says things are better. That we've right. secured the border, things are better, we've deported people, that it's all, everything's coming up roses just about. What's your perspective? You're a sheriff, you're dealing with it, you get, you know, your men shot at. What's the difference?
It is 80,000, 120,000 illegals who have been apprehended every year the past previous 3 years just in the Tucson sector alone. That's not a measure of success. And far more concerning to all Americans should be not about just illegal immigrants, not about the cartels that we're fighting. What about ISIS? What about terrorists? And it stands, it shouldn't be a surprise to people now because the president has said the national security threat facing America, the top one, is global warming. It's not an unsecured border. It's not the terrorists that we should be fighting and defeating.
I've always said that I'm a lot more afraid of a gunshot than I am a sunburn. I'm going to get over the sunburn. The gunshot, I'm not sure of, or a beheading. You've been highly criticized.
Yes.
Even by some who say they're gun supporters, but they say that was irresponsible. It was a campaign tactic. So defend the idea that you said to people, if you're going to go out in these wilderness areas,
yes,
defend yourself.
Absolutely, because cops in my county, even though we have a fast emergency response time, don't be a victim. We have a Second Amendment freedom and right, and I encourage everyone to be armed, to be properly trained. And this is where Governor Brewer, when she brought that in, open carry or concealed, crime has gone down dramatically in my state, and cops don't fear law-abiding citizens that are armed. We encourage that.
I think that's an important point to make, and you made it, that it's about being trained.
Yes.
It's not just about going to the gun store, buying a gun, strapping it on, not having a clue
Absolutely.
How to operate it, and firing it away. Well, Sheriff, it is a pleasure to have you here. First of all, I've appreciated watching you from a distance and the job you've done in Arizona.
All right. So there is some concern out there, and just to let you know, and I think it is a tragedy that we've got this situation where the U.S. government, who has by far the largest military, most powerful military in the world, which included in that is the, everybody knows we've got an incredible military, and we're just letting Arizona get infiltrated. What is the president trying to prove, or why doesn't he care? What about the people that could be hurt or who are hurt by people who are coming in? I will never, ever believe this president cares about individual Americans. 648 and AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. And got some more good stuff. Let me see here what else we've got on the. All right. I'm gonna call to reform or abolish the TSA. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous that we're trapping these travelers in these giant lines on the way to flying out. I just think it's absurd. Another thing, I wish the president would stop pretending that he's saving the world for all future generations and work on stuff in this country. Fix the TSA. Nobody should have to be treated like a cow being held for slaughter for, 5 hours in these lines. 648, we'll be right back.
Well, he's a drifter
and a driller. Well, an old school man of the world.
All right, so I've been mentioning to you there's this incredible, and this is not America. America is not a place where we come up with a law or a program, and then everybody has to take part in the program, and it's totally inefficient, and the program takes on a life of its own, and you know what I'm saying? It's just this TSA thing is just absolutely ridiculous, and it's getting worse. And so I got to ask, where's the president's leadership? The president is concerned about a lot of different things, including, global warming and stuff. Why don't we spend a little bit of time looking at what's going on with TSA? I mean, we're all